The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices. They'll pretend to be patriots, fighting for fairness for all. But they're not even fit to hold office. What they believe doesn't fit with freedom at all. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, and ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Great song. What a great song, folks. Hey, folks, this is Republic Broadcasting Network. I am John of Talk with John. Mondays, let me rephrase that. Saturdays, 3 to 5 Mountain, 4 to 6 Central, you can join me on Republic Broadcasting. Mondays and Tuesdays, you can join me on K-Talk Radio on KBJA AM 1640. So let's get to it today. Let's get this show off to a proper start. This is the second hour of the National Intel Report, filling in for John Stadtmiller, as it were. And today is September 9th, 2022. It's my privilege to be with you in the second hour. It happens to be where I'm at, 5:03 Mountain Time, which would be 6:03 Central. And let me get this, if you don't mind, folks, I'm going to start every hour off kind of like I do on mine. Let me give out my show prayer, and hopefully I don't offend too many people. I hope my show is a gift back to my forefathers, the founding fathers, and may it be an acceptable token to our Father above. Then, my show mantra: where there is liberty, there is the Spirit of Christ. Where the Spirit of Christ is, there will be liberty. And the greater the Spirit of Christ, the greater liberty will be. One of those places that I take that mantra from is Article 7. And right now I have joining me the great Suzanne C. Sherman. I would love to say President Suzanne C. Sherman. I think she would make an awesome president. So, if anybody was to know one of like four people that I could choose from, other than maybe my father, Suzanne Sherman would be like right there to be president. If I could wave that magic wand. Now, I have to deal somewhat with political reality. So, let me restate what I shared with Suzanne C. Sherman. She overheard me saying, she's going to slap my hand. She's going to tell me how dumb I am. That's why I bring her on. She's awesome. She's not afraid. She's not a coward. Like so many people, like, well, we won't name names right at the moment. I may later. But bottom line is, one of the reasons why I bring her on is because I made the statement of, if God came to me in the night, or say like an angel came to me in the middle of the night and said, John, tomorrow morning when you wake up, the media is going to be at your front door, and based on what whoever you declare, they'll ask you, who do you think should be president? And somehow you're going to be so persuasive that the country will vote the way you're going to vote. But here's the caveat, John. We've got 4 years to get this nation turned around. Not guaranteeing that that individual will turn the nation around, but it will be turned around in 4 years, or it will not, and we will go to hell in a handbasket if it doesn't get turned around in 4 years. And you can only pick someone from the national scene. That's the other caveat. Because then I'd throw in either my dad or Susan C. Sherman. But I said that 4 years, I'd go Ron DeSantis. Now, from the political scene as I know it right now, I think my ideal would be 4 years of Donald Trump and then 8 years of Ron DeSantis. I think we could have a lot better results than with what we've had. Now, Suzanne C. Sherman, she's also the Red Hot Chili Paper prepper, sorry. And she has the Wasatch, I'm drawing a blank here. The Wasatch Liberty Report.
The Wasatch Report.
You can find her on Facebook. You can friend her. She's awesome. And so she's an attorney, constitutional attorney, not necessarily practicing anymore, but just a fantastic individual who I think really understands the Constitution and makes me go, I don't like what you're saying because I can't be king and rule. So, Suzanne C. Sherman, please tell me where I'm wrong.
You know, it's great to be back. I always love coming on with you. I just want to let people know you can find me a better place than Facebook because I am just in the bottom of the news feed because of all the stuff I say. SuzanneCSherman.com will launch you directly to both of my podcasts as well as the books that I have for sale. There's a page just directed towards my books. I'm encouraging anybody to please purchase them. I've had a massive fire on my property the last weekend, so even though I have insurance, it would be nice to sell some books to make up for some of the things I lost. But you know, one of the things you talked about in the last hour, my friend John, and you just brought that up again, if you had 4 years to turn this country around and you had the power to decide who you want to have president, and you said like Donald J. Trump and maybe 8 years of Ron DeSantis, if we're playing in those parameters, that's fantastic. I would have to say, you know, if we're going to pick red team, blue team, and we have to have a president who's going to take America back and turn this nation around, then that's as good a strategy as any. So I'm not going to slap your hand on that. But, you know, my perspective is, you know, what was the country supposed to be? Where were we supposed to be from a constitutional perspective? Because many people like yourself, who say you love the Constitution and the set of, you know, limitations that it's supposed to put on this government, are we looking at the original intentions of this Constitution, and do the original intentions even matter? And a good way to look at it, for instance, if we're going to have a president.
Can I answer that real quickly?
Yeah, go ahead.
The answer to that statement is no and no.
Okay, so from a constitutional perspective, I have always said that the president, whoever's sitting in the Oval Office, should be so minuscule and have such limited powers. I'd be okay if 90% of the country, of the people, of the voting American public, didn't even know the name of the president of the United States. This has gone from a branch of government that was supposed to be limited in nature to one that has become an elected king. We have our own monarchy that we have. And this is exactly what Alexander Hamilton was proposing as well. And there are a lot of things that have been written into the Constitution that have allowed us to go down this slippery slope, which I think are actually fundamental flaws in the document itself, which allowed the president to have a bully pulpit, to have their policies, their economic programs, their job programs. But show me where in the Constitution not only the president, but the legislature was to have all these powers that people are saying they want their red team to have.
Okay, so let me share, folks, I got this book. And it's a great read. It's an important read. Now, forgive me. I cheated, and I got it on Audible. And you can go
That's
there
not
and get
cheating.
It.
That's well, the information is the same.
It really would be helpful. I do think reading is slightly better than listening to things on audio, because you can go back to it. You can underline as you're going along. But unfortunately, I have very little time to sit down and read these days. So the book that she just put out that is fantastic, and we're getting into, we'll get into a number of the parts and chapters of that book. It is Federalism: How Decentralization Can Save America, by the fantastic author, human being, and constitutionalist, Suzanne C. Sherman. So, let's continue down the path, but the bottom line is, I agree with your statement. It would be awesome if 90% of the country didn't know who the president was, but if you were to ask people who is the most powerful individual in government, and you just left it at that, who is the most powerful individual and who has the most power over you, they would probably all say, 80% would probably say the president of the United States. My personal opinion is, who has the most power in government over you, over me, hopefully would be, other than me, but an actually elected individual, would be the sheriff of my county. That would be my statement.
Well, interesting. You know, you're talking about who would have the most power. Let's ratchet that back first to the president of the United States. First of all, that person isn't even considered the president of the United States. They call whoever's sitting in that office the leader of the free world.
Right.
The framers would be rolling in their graves if they had known that this is what the role of the president of the United States has, I would say, devolved into, because this has turned it into this is the mentality that's responsible for interventionism around the world and this ridiculous debt that we've incurred because we've been at a constant state of war for over 100 years.
Amen. Preach, sister. So, the debt, let's go to that. Where is that in the Constitution of the United States? And you said to go gallivanting around the world, being the policemen of the world. Where is that in the Constitution?
Right. I mean, look at the statements that the founding generation gave us. What was it? Entangling alliances with none and open and friendly relationships with everybody. They never envisioned a country that would use its power as the holder of the world's global currency, reserve currency, as a weapon. Look what they did with SWIFT and with Russia, and look what's happening now to our own dollar, because now the BRIC countries are now going to start trading in the yuan and the ruble, and the dollar is going to collapse. If that goes away, these dollars are going to flood the U.S. economy, that we're going to go back to the Weimar Republic days. And this is all because they have egregiously skipped their limitations. The founders feared standing armies in times of peace, but the military-industrial complex is really shaping foreign policy right now. And again, Donald Trump, he was a speed bump on this, which is why I think he is so hated by the left and also his own party.
So I think I shared with you the last time you were on, the person that I think benefited the most from January 6th, from people going in and the after effects of January 6th, was not Joe Biden, was not Nancy Pelosi. It was Mitch McConnell. That's my personal opinion. He grabbed the most power by Donald Trump being moved out of the way.
Yeah, I think that's fair. You know, also when you said who should have the most power over you, and you were okay with the sheriff having the most power over you, but have you stopped to qualify what power that person should have? And are we talking about a violation of natural rights? Are we talking about civic rights? You know, there's a great article by the Burning Platform. I quote it all the time, called Mr. Sociopath Goes to Washington. And you can apply what's in there to your local your local sheriff and ask if that person is trying to instill in you violations of your natural right to be left alone, your right to have your property, your right to do what you want to do if you're not hurting anybody. How many sheriffs, for instance, have, you know, participated in civil asset forfeiture laws? How many of them have gone along with federal firearms laws, working with the federal government, that with also civil asset forfeiture, the drug wars, they participated in all of this. So if the sheriff's not protecting your life, liberty, or your property, you have to ask, even though it's a localized source of power and control over me, is this still a just exercise of their power over me?
We don't have enough good ones. I would like to get someone in along the lines of Sheriff Richard Mack. I think he would do, he and his organization are doing a very good job of sharing with sheriffs, this is where your responsibilities and your number one duty right now in America. The job, the number one job of what a sheriff should be doing is pointing the gun or the threat of a gun, not at me, the citizen. It should be at the federal government. Everything that comes, this, if I was sheriff, if I was made sheriff in my county, I would call up all, I would have my secretary call up all of the, federal government bureaucracies, the FBI, ATF, and whatever group you want to, ICE, whomever. I would call them up and say, I want to have a meeting with them. I want to have a meeting within the first week. And then this is what I would say. If you're going to, if you want to serve a warrant in my county, it will come across my desk and I will sign off on it. If I don't sign off on that warrant, I will arrest you, any arresting officer, and I will go as high as I possibly can, and I will arrest you at the point of the gun. And by the way, the next hour, I am calling a large meeting with the men of my county, and I am going to say, which one of you want to be part of my deputized posse and are willing to stand shoulder to shoulder with me in front of any federal officer to effect an arrest? And I think that should be, and I think the freedom that would grow from that type of sheriff standing up in their county would be huge.
You know, an example of when that should have happened, and I actually discussed that in my book, Federalism, How Decentralization Can Save America. I get into the drug wars, and there was an article that I include in there called Parchment and Plants. And there was a case, Angel Raich, she lived in California, and California, as we're well aware, was one of the pioneers in legalizing first for medicinal purposes and later for recreational purposes, the use of cannabis. Angel Raich was a woman who had a lot of illness, excruciating pain, and she was using cannabis to ease her pain and help her. Well, the federal government, because this was in violation of the Controlled Substances Act, the DEA went in there and they took her plants. Santa Cruz County SOs stood by while they did that job. And I absolutely agree with you. They should have been arrested. They should never have stood by there. They should have arrested the DEA agents on the spot. And had they been known they were going, they should have stopped them before they even harassed Angel Raich on her home. Ultimately, this was upheld by the United States Supreme Court. I believe it was Antonin Scalia who said, as long as this is part of an ongoing pre-existing federal program, then this search and the confiscation of her marijuana in contravention to California's law was constitutional. What he never addressed was the fact that the Controlled Substances Act in and of itself was unconstitutional.
Okay. Then also something that I want to get to further in this conversation. I want to hit the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
Let's hit that. All right. This is the National Intel Report. Hosting right now is Talk with John. Catch you on the other side of this break.
Hey, Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Ease-Off.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Big John. Big John.
Every morning at the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6 foot six and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John.
Big John. Big John.
Big Bad John.
John.
I'd like that to continue, because that plays not for me, it plays for John Stattmiller. John Stattmiller, yeah, he was a character that definitely that song is for and after, and I sure enjoyed listening to that song whenever I was on with it, because that's John Stattmiller. So, let's get back to Suzanne C. Sherman. Thank you for joining us. Now, we do have a caller, Marcus in Idaho. We have some topics that we're going to bring up. There was the cannabis issue that we talked about. There's also... So, before we get to that caller, let me go through the chapters of the book. So, the lesser of two evils, voting in a one-party system. These are the chapters of Suzanne's latest book. And let me pull that up. It's Federalism, How Decentralizing Can Save America. Folks, you want to reach out, you want to grab this book. Trust me, you want to order this book. These are the chapters. Obviously, there's an opening credit, there's introductions, and then the main chapters. The lesser of two evils, voting in a one-party system. The legal education industry. I would say the illegal education system, and she does a very good job of pointing that out. The First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, criminal justice, immigration, when emotions drive public policy, the Holy State, ratification convention, conclusion, And those are the chapters. Well, a book well worth getting, I would get it right now. And the smart thing I'd think to do is get it on Audible and then actually buy the actual book itself. Susan, where's a good place for them to go? Where do you prefer that they go?
The easiest thing is go to my website, SuzanneCSherman.com, and then there's a page that has not only that book, I also write preparedness books. The first two in the Red Hot Chili Prepper Survival Series is our food preservation strategies, and then the second one, I teach you what to do with the food that I've taught you how to store up, and that's called Doomsday Dining Recipes from Camp Apocalypse. We have a little fun on that. Then a really comprehensive book on survival is called The Lost Frontier Handbook. I tell people, learn the ways of the pioneers. It's your ultimate guide to self-reliance. And it's kind of cool because it's based on the pioneer lifestyle and living out here in Utah. It was a fun project to get involved in.
Well, you just gave away you live in Utah as well.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get to Marcus in Idaho. Marcus, we may have to continue on with you on the other side of the break if we're not able to skip this break. Marcus in Idaho, what's on your mind?
Hello, John. You thought that the
Marcus, I'm having a hard time hearing you, Marcus.
You said that the most relevant people that control us is the sheriff or the constable.
I don't think I said control us.
Okay, so those are the most relevant. I think that that is the FBI in my book. They have been able to come in and destroy basically 1,000 people's lives who are still in a gulag in Washington, D.C., and who are getting pepper sprayed and losing their eyes and getting beaten by the
guards. Okay, so Marcus, I will concur that that is the way it is now. I would say that the FBI probably, and even most sheriffs' minds, that the FBI has more power than they do. But I'm telling you that that is absolutely not the way it should be. As I shared, if I was made sheriff, I would call up all those groups and say, you're not affecting any arrest. You're not doing anything along those lines, or I will arrest you at the point of the gun, and I'll be more than happy to shoot you. And I'll have 100 deputized individuals next to me, and I'll pull out 2,000 if I need to, and we will have a shooting war.
And that would be great. And that would be
no,
awesome.
It would not be great. It would be terrible. It would be horrible. But I would be willing to do it.
But the stopping of that that power echelon, which is in our federal government, which is totally in line with the deep state, which has determined that Republicans and conservatives are the evil enemy, which must be squashed by whatever means possible, whether that's lawfare or warfare against them, is a terrible thing. It's broken our country at this point. And we are in a very dangerous position because of they have grasped the reins of power to be able to tell people, if you don't think like we do, we're going to come after you. We're going to take you out. We're going to put you in prison. And you're gonna face the whole weight of the federal government, and there's nothing that you're gonna be able to do to be able to fight against that.
Suzanne, what are your thoughts?
It's interesting you're mentioning the FBI. I just came across an article that Mickey Dolenz, the last surviving member of the Monkees, is actually suing the FBI under a FOIA. And trying to get some information on how the FBI targeted the Monkees for left-wing propaganda. Now the FBI is going after conservatives. The bottom line is, it's weaponized political opponents in this country, and that's absolutely unacceptable.
Okay, sounds like we've got break music starting up. Let's finish the thought up on the other side. This is Talk with John, National Intelligence.
The American Opinion, Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S-Secret.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
I see you, my friend, and touch your face again. Miracles will happen as we dream. But we're never gonna survive.
Republic Broadcasting, this is the National Intel Report. Talk with John filling in. And Saturdays, 3 to 5 Mountain, 4 to 6 Central, you can join me on my show here on Republic Broadcasting. Tomorrow from 3 to 5 Mountain, or at least 3 till about 4:30 Mountain, because I'll be bouncing about the last half hour of the show. I'm going to have, in the first hour, Roger Landry will join me. So, looking forward to that. But right now, I have Suzanne C. Sherman, and she was about to tell us how the last living member of the Monkees did a, I believe it's a FOIA request. So, do tell.
Yeah, I just came across this article, and apparently the FBI had been targeting them and doing investigations alleging that there was subliminal for the English speakers messages in their music that were leaning towards the left. How times have changed. Now we have the FBI that's been weaponized to go against people that are on the right. The bottom line is it acceptable in the supposedly, you know, free country to have the law enforcement branch of the general government used to weaponize political opponents? And when Donald Trump said during the debates against Hillary Clinton that if he were in office, she would be in jail, what was the outcry? In this country, we don't prosecute or persecute political enemies, but that's exactly what they're doing now. And what did he do to the candidate that he said if he was in office, he would put in jail during his inaugural luncheon? He had her and her husband, the heads of the Clinton crime syndicate, stand before the crowd and be acknowledged for their years and decades of public service. So he lost me on the day he was inaugurated.
Boy, you're a harsh critic.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, Marcus, does that answer your question?
No, sir. It doesn't. No. Who cares about the monkeys? The monkeys stayed over at a place in Hawaii. They weren't great people. They were just crazy people, left wing. That you're talking about the monkeys, lady, rather than the guy that is in prison, the shaman, for 3 years for going in there and saying, let's say a prayer and let's be a little bit crazy and we love our country. That should be the man that you're fighting for rather than the stupid monkeys thing.
I don't recall taking a stance supporting the monkeys. My point for bringing it up was within the context of the weaponization of our federal, of the highest law enforcement branch in these
right.
United
and
States
so
against political opponents.
The weaponization has fallen down upon conservatives, and the guy was a left-wing guy anyway.
This is the problem,
shaman.
Saying, well, we don't like that guy. We don't care if they go after him until they come after you. When Facebook and social media started coming down on Alex Jones, conservatives and left-wingers alike were cheering on, yeah, we hate him. And then lo and behold, they started going after the conservatives especially. So be careful. The principles are what matters, not the parties that are the target. You might not think the monkeys are worthy of it, but the principle of the matter is you shouldn't be targeted by the highest law enforcement agency of the United States because of the possibility of political messages in your music.
Exactly.
That's what matters.
That's exactly why I was calling for the FBI to be defunded in my business a year and a half ago. Before anybody else was saying anything, I was telling people we need to defund the FBI.
I'm good with that.
On my board and everything.
Amen, brother.
And
I have no problem with that. And the monkeys are yet one reason. And what James Comey did saying it wouldn't be fair to prosecute Hillary Clinton. All of these reasons why you don't have to like all the parties, but the principles are what matters.
So Marcus, here is what Marcus, let me say this. This is something about Suzanne C. Sherman that you need to get to know. She is ideologically consistent no matter who nor what side of thought process you are on. She's consistent all the way through. That's why I'm having her here on now. You're going to find out she is ideologically consistent all the way through. And here's the key, Marcus. We have to stand up against federal overreach and overreach of any government that breaks natural law. That's our job. That's your job. That's my job. That's everybody's job. And if our forebears would have been doing that for the last 200 years, I think they did it pretty well for the first 50 to 70 years. They did a pretty decent job.
No,
but over
I,
the
I
last 100 years,
oh, I
totally
think you're good until the 60s or 70s.
Oh, no. I completely disagree with that. You want to know, I would say the biggest number one.
He means the 1860s, right? Because then if he doesn't mean the 1860s, he loses me completely.
Okay. All right. Marcus, I'm going to say thanks for your call. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Marcus.
I would suggest, Marcus, get her book. It's Suzanne C. Sherman. And it is Federalism, How Decentralization Can Save America. Real quickly, Suzanne, tell people where they can go to get your books because I want to get to another point here real quick, but I want you to give that out first.
Yeah, thank you. Suzanne, S-U-Z-A-N-N-E, initial C, Sherman.com. That'll take you to both podcasts as well as the page that will link you to all my books. Please consider getting them.
Okay, so I'm going to see the biggest inflection point of things where things really went askew. 1860, in the 1860s with Abraham Lincoln, I'll give it to you. Give me this, where I think things really went off the rails, is, and we got a number of callers and we'll get to you. We may not get to all of our points. I do want to hit the Second Amendment really fast because we need to be ideologically consistent. And I want to show where you are ideologically consistent. But World War II was the greatest hoodwink that ever happened to the thought process of Americans in the history, maybe of the world. Here's what happened. Good men went over and said, I'm going to join up the military and I'm going to go fight for a war. And when they were put in, they were told, you listen to your orders, you follow the orders because they know best. Meaning the government, your generals, they know best. And that was so ingrained in them that when they came home, they were told, patted on the back, hey, you won the war. You won the war. Great job. All because of you, it was won the war. And then they went to sleep.
And what did they win exactly?
Well, we kicked Hitler's butt.
To what purpose? To hand... When we, quote, kicked Hitler's butt, we also empowered the Soviet Union to rise to power. Russia became the Soviet Union. Our participation, we handed Eastern Europe over to Stalin, an absolute sociopath murderer. Our involvement in World War II also strengthened China. Our interventionism and police activities around the world at the behest of the globalists have created the two greatest enemies we have today, and also all the ones in the Middle East.
Wait a minute. You're not one of those people that agree with Patton.
What I try to say is World War II wouldn't have happened if we'd stayed out of World War I, and that is what Wilson campaigned on, was non-intervention. And this is the issue with that. We have non-interventionism being put in the same, I guess, term as isolationism. And isolationism is not an appropriate term. But if you look out and ask what was gained by going us into World War II, a friend of mine said this, and I thought that was really interesting, allying with the Soviets to defeat the Nazis instead of standing back and letting them destroy each other was the final nail in this coffin. Conservatives now, June 6, 1994, is now a conservative holy day. A friend of mine, Tom Mullen, had written this, and he said, the U.S. has become a garrison state solely because the Soviets were allowed to seize half of Europe, something they could not have done had the U.S. not entered the war. World War, this is called the greatest generation. The greatest generation elected FDR four times. We will never climb out of the pit that his policies and the New Deal policies have put us in. So what I'm trying to ask people to do is look at this without the propaganda of government education and institutions, and look at it what was really accomplished. You can go to my website. I publish, or not my website, but on my Facebook page, and I shared this on August 20th, and you can read this about, you know, World War II and the greatest generation. I say it was anything but. And that really gets people fired up, because who doesn't love these old World War II veterans? And hey, we kicked Hitler's butt, but what else did we do?
We went to sleep. That's my answer. All right, let's quickly hit the Second Amendment. You know, we've had some great wins for the Second Amendment recently. You know,
such as
New York. Right?
No. First of all, what was accomplished in New York? The federal government, the federal judiciary, the United States Supreme Court struck down a gun control law in the state of New York. What does the Second Amendment do?
It gives power to the people.
Stop it. Stop it. You know better. The Second Amendment is merely a reaffirmation that the general government had no authority to regulate firearms whatsoever. So now, if the federal government does not have any delegated authority in Article 1, Section 8, we have to go to the 10th Amendment, which was really simple. It says powers not delegated to the U.S. by the Constitution or prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. Accordingly, this means that the states have the exclusive authority to regulate firearms. It is not within the providence of the general government, the federal judiciary, to overturn state firearms laws. This is what go ahead.
So the reason why I think you're ideologically consistent here is if the government has the ability to give, they have the ability to take away.
Well, and that's why it came about, because the Constitution, I think it's Article 1, Section 8, Clause 19 or 18, it is 18 or 19, says that the general government grant the general government the authority to arm the militia. Well, the founding generation was afraid that if they had that power, they could choose to either not arm or to disarm the militia. That's why the Second Amendment was added in the Bill of Rights, to show that there is an absolute prohibition against the general government regulating firearms whatsoever. And this is the intellectually consistent challenge or consistent challenge that people need to have is, I'm a gun gal. I love firearms. I don't want my firearms rights restricted. But you know what? It's not within the purview of the federal judiciary to overturn state laws. Federally usurping state laws is exactly what was rejected outright at the Philadelphia Convention. Only what was presented there was a federal veto or a negative vis-a-vis the legislature. But what we have is the same effect, where federalism is defeated, and that's where the states would have the majority of this power. And this was stated extensively, and I quote these extensively in my book, Madison's Federalist 39 and 45. And again, the powers in 45, he says, that were delegated are few and defined. So there's no authority to do this. I like to see gun prohibition laws like this struck down. But because federalism is what was intended, intellectually, I can't be honest and say these are good laws. You know, Dobbs versus Jackson, which returned the power to regulate abortion to the states, was correctly decided. Now, to be consistent, that is exactly how this New York case should have been decided and said, hey, you know what, this is a state issue. But the deep as a birdbath analysts say, well, the Second Amendment's listed in the Constitution and abortion is not. That's absolutely irrelevant. What powers were delegated? They had no authority to regulate either. But what the federal government, what the federal judiciary wouldn't do was do the same thing that they did with the abortion case. Because if they did, they would have to disband the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives immediately. They would be irrelevant. That would be fantastic. If they had said that, imagine how much power could have been taken away from Washington, D.C. But conservatives are cheering on this abomination that took place in New York, and they shouldn't be.
Okay, I'm going to call time out. We've got four callers lined up for you. Suzanne, I got this question. Mm-hmm. Will you join me for 2 hours here in the next month or so?
Yes.
Okay, all right. David in Massachusetts, let's get to you. Now, callers, real quickly, sorry, we're going to do a lightning round. We've got 10 minutes, and I've got four callers. You've got basically a 35 to 45 seconds to make your point, and then we're going on to the next. We'll make counterpoints and then get back to you. Holy crap, we got five now. James, I don't know that we're going to get to you. Let's roll. David, Massachusetts, go.
Okay, hi, John. I heard you towards the beginning of the show talking about Mar-a-Lago, and then I missed some of the show, and I didn't know you had a guest on. But so I'm not familiar with this lady, but I'll ask you, and maybe she might want to weigh in on this. Have you heard John and your guest, who's a very nice lady, intelligent lady, And to me, you know, there's no proof. It's just a rumor or something. But there's a whistleblower in on the Mar-a-Lago, an FBI whistleblower that was in on the Mar-a-Lago raid. And there's a lot of female FBI agents now. And my hunch is that she's a female. But up here in Boston, there's a lot of talk radio all day, 24 hours on WRKO. But supposedly there's an FBI agent whistleblower that's saying that the conduct of the FBI agents was so inappropriate, like when they were in Melania's bedroom, when they were screwing around with Melania's underwear and everything. They were saying stuff. One agent was supposedly saying stuff like, "Oh, my fantasy has come true.
Sorry, we don't have time to go into. So give me. What is your point? Get to your point.
Well, my point is, number one, have you heard about this whistleblower that was revealing that some jerk was saying that his fantasy had come true? About
second point is,
and number two, they're always appointing special investigators and special counsels to investigate Republicans and everything. How come a special investigator can't be appointed to investigate the conduct of these FBI agents that desecrated...
Okay. David, thank you. Suzanne, fire away.
It's been politicized. There's no more to it. You know, they sure as heck didn't do that to Hillary Clinton, but, you know, who wants to go through... Never mind. Yes, just full stop.
Thank you, but I'll answer no one. All right, let's get to Renee in North Carolina.
Hello. You go, girl. You know, if more people sounded like you, I might still be listening to RBN. I like.
Hey, Renee, what about John? What about Talk with John? Come on, this is Talk with John filling in.
No. See, the thing is, she's consistent, and that's why I quit listening, because after the Trump thing is, they started playing the right-left paradigm worse than anybody. The thing they taught us not to do, they started doing. Let's face it, if the Queen had offered a knighthood for Donald Trump, he would have been giddy with excitement. I'm so tired, and thank you, Chance, we're on the same page. The thing is, these people that worship their Anglophiles, didn't we have to fight these people for our freedom? And didn't Cecil Rhodes, his goal was to get the U.S. back as another colony for Britain? These people always worshiping the Anglophiles in Britain, it's like, what the hell? You're inconsistent. You fought these people for your freedom, but then you go back, the Queen,
Renee, did you listen to the first hour?
I tuned in kind of late. Like I said, every now and then I just
go back
check.
To the first hour, Renee. Go back to listen to the first hour. I covered this. Great point. Thank you. I need to let Suzanne make a comment. Listen to me on Saturdays, 3 to 5 Mountain Time, 4 to 6 Central. I'm going to have Suzanne back within the next month and a half. Fire
Renee,
away.
Go to my website. Renee, go to my website. Find me there, girlfriend.
All right. Let's go to Dave in Nevada. Dave.
Hello. Yeah, I just have a question about states' rights and giving power back to the states and taking it away from the government on certain issues.
Fire
and
away.
My question is really simple. What happens when the state itself that you live in is ruled by a dictator? And you give the state's sovereignty to be led by a dictator? What do you do at that point?
Suzanne, sounds like she's talking about Governor Cox of Utah.
The states already had their sovereignty, so it's not for the federal government to give. They gave the federal government sovereignty, which was a huge mistake, but that's a topic for another day. So you do what I did. You fight the battle in the state in which you live through the state legislatures using the state constitution as your guide. And if you cannot get redress in the state in which you live, you vote with your feet and move. I moved because of California's firearms laws. I did not support when some of them were overthrown by the federal judiciary, because now I know that Utah isn't going to be run by California's standards. And this is another reason why I was so against national reciprocity when Donald Trump was starting to say that he had support for that. I told people, this is a Trojan horse, and you absolutely do not want to grant the government this authority over your concealed carry permits. And people would say, yeah, but it's our guy, we need to move. They would have all been rescinded now with Biden and Harris.
So let me say this. What I think that you're up for, though, is states forming agreements amongst themselves for reciprocity.
No.
Whoa.
Oh, yes, with reciprocity. Yes. I thought you meant with what was going on in the state laws. Yes, for national reciprocity, we already have agreements among the states without any compulsion on the part of the general government to force one state like California to accept a permit issued in Utah. Utah now is permitless. So what's going to happen if there's national reciprocity? I can go anywhere even without a permit. How does that work? People have said, well, the Supreme Court will carve out the rules. That's fantastic. That's just great, gun advocates. Let's have 9 politically connected lawyers in black government-issued wizard costumes saying what kind of standards we're going to have for carrying our firearms on our persons. I can't imagine anything more profoundly stupid.
Preach, sister, preach. Unfortunately, we got to get to the next caller. James in Vancouver, you're the last one.
Yeah, the bankers, international bankers, made a lot of money with World War II, and they got to steal all the secrets, scientific secrets that the Germans had. And the Germans also had a cure for cancer, but I don't think you got that. You got the rockets, but not the cure. So there it is. So, good meeting you. I wrote a book, too.
James?
Yeah. Right.
You got to get her book. Suzanne, share where you can go to the website.
I'll get her book if she gets my book. How's that?
Yeah, go to my website, SuzanneCSherman.com. Give me a link for your book.
All right.
Do you know the name of my book?
Thanks for your call, James. Right. Suzanne, your thoughts?
I really appreciate the opportunity to introduce people to the subject of federalism. I think the Second Amendment, thank you for bringing that up, is a great opportunity to introduce people to why we need to remain consistent and not cheer on laws where we like the outcome policy-wise, such as in New York, and always be consistent. Again, New York should have the firearms laws they want. The people in Utah have no business telling Utah or telling New York how to run their business any more than the people in California have the right to tell anyone in Nebraska how to live their lives. That was how this union was founded, and that's what it's going to take power away from Washington, D.C., education.
So the bottom line is, this is my opinion. When you have good people, conservative people leave the states that they're in, those states will collapse. Hopefully states like Utah will become even more free, and therefore it will show states like California and Oregon, you know what? Everybody's leaving us. We probably ought to come around to doing what they are for freedom in Utah or other states. Now, please don't take me that I'm saying holding up Utah as the free bastion of the world, because we've got our problems here in the state of Utah, starting with Governor Cox. And boy, that last name fits him well. But, yeah, I'm not going to go into all those thoughts. But Suzanne C. Sherman, thank you so much for joining us. We've got 10 seconds. Thank you. So I'm going to say this. Everybody have a great weekend. Suzanne, thank you.
Thank you, John.
We'll have you back. This has been Talk with John on the National Intel Report.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. OxySilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit RepublicBroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.